हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So then we're having the chapter where the Pandavas are consulting with Krishna, and Krishna's been, he's made his points, he's been then therefore asking around the room what the Pandavas are thinking. So Bhima spoke, Yudhishthira spoke before, and now Arjuna is speaking. Arjuna's voice rose in anger as he thought about it. Without doubt, the evil-minded Duryodhana deserves to die. He and his brothers cruelly and deceitfully robbed us of our kingdom and insulted the innocent Draupadi. I cannot see him accepting any good counsel. Your words will be like throwing seeds on barren land. If you think he should be destroyed, then do it at once, O Lord, for there is nothing to be considered in this matter. Otherwise, let there be battle. What Kshatriya would turn away from such a fight, even if death stares down upon him? Krishna nodded slowly. It is exactly as you say, Arjuna. Peace and war both lie in my hands, but I will not force either. Even the divine agency which causes the results of actions allows men their free choice. Every man must accept the consequences of his own action. Blinded by attachment, men do not see the final results of their act, but the divine power always brings about these results. Right, so Krishna's making the point is, yes, as the Supreme Lord, then everything could go where, however he likes. But when he's dealing with the living entities, then he allows them that free will. But with that free will comes the consequences of that free will. He's the living entities, an individual. Therefore, free will is inherent. But then if they use that appropriately, they get good results. They use it badly, they get bad results. They use it, you know, on the transcendental platform, then they get transcendental results. So we see Duryodhana, he is acting according to his free will, but he doesn't see the future. Because they know about destiny, they know just enough, but it's not actually real for them. It's slightly imaginary. Imaginary meaning they believe in it, but it means there's imagination means they're imagining what it actually is. You know, it's just like, let's say I get a few coconuts and then I go to the market to sell them. And while I'm walking to the market, I'm imagining I'm going to sell those coconuts and I'm going to get this and that. And, you know, and before I get to the market, I'm already a billionaire. Right? So that's imagination. You understand that there is the process, but you don't actually really know what it is. So this is a very important aspect. Then there's imagination where you're projecting on something that doesn't exist, something that it'll be. So you have all this mix that they know that there's destiny, but then they're seeing I worked and I got the result I wanted, even though I worked and it was bad. But I got the result I wanted. So therefore, you know, maybe it is destiny that I'm going to win. That's what drives Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, is they're thinking that they behaved so sinfully, but they still got good results. And so then they're thinking, well, maybe destiny is on our side. What they don't understand is, no, those good results are coming from past deeds. From the present deeds, only bad will come. So they're not actually understanding this. So Krishna gives this, because ultimately the point is one has to, as one has chosen to come to the material world, like that, and turn one's face away from the Supreme Lord, then one can, with that free will, turn one's attention back to the Supreme Lord. And then one gets transcendental results. So the idea is that the Supreme Lord always reciprocates with the living entity, whatever platform they're working on, but according to their work. I will convey in full Yudhishthira's message to the Kurus. As you say, Arjuna, Yudhishthira has already said everything that should be said. Duryodhana is likely to be too vicious to accept my advice. He is unable to part with even a tiny piece of land for a brief period, right? His attachment is so great, so demoniac, he has to have everything, and he'll go to any length to get it. So that's the problem, is the living entities can fall into that trap of just being so illusioned that they really think that all this is so important, when ultimately it's not. Thus, there will be war. You may be required to fight, Bibhatsu. Fix your mind on battle, for whoever you determine to defeat is already vanquished. For my part, I desire to do whatever is good for Dharmaraj. I will always follow the instructions of that pious king, and I will also duly consider Duryodhana's wicked acts. Right? So he's looking what's good for Yudhishthira, and so he's going to see that, but he says at the same time, because someone may act, okay, you're seeing the good, but what about the bad that's come to him? Are you going to look at that aspect? He says, yes, that's also considered, because they have wronged him. You know, because you're trying to establish, it means Krishna's come to establish Dharma. So in so establishing, then you're establishing the element of what is correct action, because ultimately only transcendental activity or devotional activity is of value. But devotional activity takes on a form, and that form is that of an action. And those actions, then as you have free will, that same action can be performed on the transcendental platform or the material platform. So those activities that are useful in the spiritual platform, they're also the what we call pious activities on the material platform. And so then one will be elevated. So the idea is, no, you should do devotional service. You should surrender to the Lord. So those activities you would do in surrender to the Lord, those are the recommended activities. Now you still have the choice whether you want to do that in connection with the Lord or do it in connection with the material and get the material benefits. Like that. Then those activities that are not useful in devotional service, then those are also not useful on the material platform. They're just called, are called sinful activities. Right? So considering all these things, it's because of their usefulness in devotional service or not. Krishna turned towards the twins. Both of them expressed their willingness for battle. Satyaki also spoke of his determination to fight. There was little doubt in anyone's mind that war was unavoidable. Duryodhana would simply laugh at Krishna. Draupadi was also seated in the assembly. The talk of peace had alarmed her. For 13 long years, she had waited for the time when Duryodhana's brothers would receive justice. She wanted the battle to begin at once. Krishna's final peace mission worried her. What if he succeeded? It seemed her husbands, even Bhima, were ready to accept peace if Krishna could somehow secure it without sacrificing their interests. How then would she be avenged for her suffering at the court of his hands? How would her defiled honor be restored? She addressed Krishna with anguish in her voice. O Achyuta, why are you going to Hastinapur? What do you hope to achieve? Has Duryodhana not made it clear that he will never return Yudhishthira's kingdom? Yudhishthira asked for 5 villages, and still the evil one would not agree. Neither by peaceful means nor by surrender will we attain our ends. Only by battle will we conquer our kingdom. I cannot see any point in your going there, O Krishna, unless it is to annihilate those sinful men. You should not show mercy at this time. It is said that the sin of killing an innocent man occurs to a ruler who fails to kill one who is guilty. Do not let yourself be touched by that sin, O Janardana. Right? Because you have the king of the rulers, and either they're judging themselves or they have judges, qualified judges, who act on their behalf. But now, if an innocent man is said to be guilty, or a guilty man is set free, the sin of that activity means, in other words, if the man has been set free, then the sin of the reaction for his evil doing, even though he's been set free, because, you know, that has to go somewhere. That goes to the rulers. This is not understood. They think, well, the court decided. No, but you're the head of state. It goes to you. And so therefore, when they manipulate the courts and do different things they want, those reactions go to those who are responsible. It means, in other words, those who are in charge of the whole process. So he's pointing out then why, means he's sinful, he should be punished. So don't let this go unpunished, otherwise then that sin will accrue to you, right? Because it's just thought, oh, punishment, you use it how you like, get your political means done. But the point is punishment, if it's applied to the wrong person, will destroy you. Or if it's not applied to the, you know, if it's means the person it's not applied to, it will come around, it will get them, it will get you. And if it's applied to someone it shouldn't be, that will also come around. So in other words, justice has to be applied very, very properly. And it's not that whimsical that we just decide on our own, because the world works according to nature's law. So we can have our own standards of morality. And that may run because that independence is there. Krishna gives that independence. And so they can have their own judges, and as long as they follow their own thing, it goes okay for them. But at the same time is, because you do have the ultimate, universal laws, the natural laws of the universe, going against them will always give a bad result. You know, but if it's in an area where it's like, you walk across the street when the light is red and you get punished for that. It's not something that's specifically there in the Veda. But the point is it's a local thing to make the kingdom work nicely so that people will be peaceful and the social interaction will go properly. So then those kind of laws, then those are not a problem. You know that they're there. They said they're practical managerial laws. But, you know, going against things like this, you know, killing people and doing stuff that is inappropriate, then that kind of thing, like she said here, sin of killing an innocent man accrues to a ruler who fails to kill one who is guilty. And so therefore then, that kind of thing, then that's, you know, if you say it's all right, but it's not according to universal laws, it will come in, it will be effective in the future. Like, so Draupadi's trying to, you know, not see that nothing, that there is justice. Draupadi reminded Krishna of the pain she felt in the Kuru's assembly hall. Her voice was choked. Shame to Arjuna's skill in archery, and shame to Bhima's strength, that Duryodhana still lives for even a moment longer. O Lord, if I am fit to be favored by you, if you feel mercy towards me, then direct the full force of your wrath on Duryodhana's sons, or Dhritarashtra's sons, excuse me. Draupadi rose up from her seat behind the Pandavas. Taking hold of her ringlets of deep blue hair, she approached Krishna. O lotus-eyed one, this is the hair that Dushasana seized. If Bhima and Arjuna are so mean as to desire peace, then my old father and his sons will fight for my virtue. So too will my heroic sons, with Abhimanyu at their head, come to avenge me. If I do not see Dushasana's hand torn from his body, then how can I ever experience peace? For 13 years my mind has been ablaze with thoughts of revenge. My heart has been rent asunder upon seeing Bhima inclined towards mildness. Right, so, you know, because the feminine nature is based on justice is very, very important, because if you're working for that you get good benefit, it's based on the principle of justice. I did my work, I get good results. Someone's done bad work, they should get bad results. And so the feminine nature very strongly works on this, because it's the energies that carry out the laws. So it's very natural for feminine nature to be very worried about these things. And so then she's seeing this, and you see here she says, you know, this her you know, it says ringlets of blue hair. That means it's loose, because after Dushasana grabbed her hair like that, and her hair came undone and dragged her into the assembly. So then she never tied it again. She said she'll only tie it after Dushasana has been killed. Like that, you know. So here's, you know, the hand torn from his body. So Dushasana, there'll be the uniqueness of having his hand ripped off, right? So she's worried when Bhima is showing mildness. You know, but he stood up and made himself clear. Arjuna's made himself clear. But Draupadi, because he asked for everyone's opinion, Draupadi's making her opinion, just make sure that justice is done. Because otherwise, we surrender, or, we, you know, there's an, okay, we get five villages, then yes, life goes on, they move forward and everything like that. But justice in the way of what's been wrong, that's not corrected. Draupadi stopped speaking. Hot tears fell on her breasts, and she covered her face with her delicate hands. Krishna consoled her gently. Before long, Panchali, you will see the Kauravas wife weep as you weep now. Those with whom you are angry are already destroyed, along with all their kinsmen and followers. The gods have ordained it. Bhima, Arjuna, the twins, Yudhishthira, and I will kill them. Do not doubt this. If Dhritarashtra's sons do not heed my advice, they shall lie upon the bare earth, their bodies food for dogs and jackals. O gentle lady, stop crying. You will soon see your husbands regain their kingdom after killing their enemies. Draupadi was pacified by Krishna's words. There was nothing left to be said. It was late afternoon, and Yudhishthira adjourned the assembly. Krishna would leave early the next morning. He rose and bowed to Yudhishthira, leaving the hall like the sun going behind a cloud. The Pandavas followed him, and gradually the others dispersed, all reflecting upon Krishna's momentous words. So Krishna has already pointed out, they're all finished. Because, as is pointed out, everyone knows, no matter what you do, he's not going to accept. But the point is as the Supreme Lord, he's giving them that option like that. Since this is pastimes, he's there personally. Because otherwise, then Duryodhana, his brothers, and anybody connected to them and supportive of them, every last one of them will be destroyed. Chapter 46, Krishna's Peace Mission. Just before dawn, bards and brahmanas assembled outside Krishna's bedchamber. They chanted auspicious Vedic hymns as musicians played lutes and drums. Inside the chamber, Krishna had already risen and was performing his morning rituals. After bathing and worshipping the sun in the sacred fire, he put on yellow silk garments, because worshipping the sun means by chanting the Brahma Gayatri. And sacred fire means the daily yajna that you do. He put on yellow silk garments. The palace servants helped adorn him with numerous gold ornaments, studded with priceless gems. As he paid his respects to the brahmanas, giving them cows and gold in charity, Satyaki entered. Krishna greeted him cheerfully and said, O hero, please prepare my chariot. Equipped it with both offensive and defensive weapons. Duryodhana lacks all scruples, and so do Karna and Shakuni. An enemy should never be disregarded, even if he is weaker. Right, so someone who's intelligent, he understands the nature of the enemy and acts accordingly. He never thinks, oh, he's weaker, and so therefore, what do I have to worry about? No, he always respects whatever is their particular abilities and powers, or even in this case, he's always should be wary of his bad qualities. He knows how, he's seen how he acts, so he knows he could act like that at any time. So you never put down your guard with an enemy. Satyaki detailed some soldiers to prepare Krishna's chariot. They brought out the car meant for high-speed journeys, which had two great wheels resembling the sun and moon. It blazed like fire and was decorated with moons and stars, as well as figures of sharks, animals, birds, and various kinds of flowers worked in precious stones. The chariot was covered with tiger skins and rows of small bells. A tall flagstaff of lapis lazuli bore a large blue, dark blue banner emblazoned with the emblem of Garuda. Krishna's four horses, Shaiva, Sugriva, Megapushpa, and Bahalaka, all clad in mail, were yoked to it with harnesses of jeweled leather. Right, so then, it's special for going fast, so it has very, you know, it have the big wheels so it can roll very nicely over things, because it's not about turning corners and that. So the war chariots, then they have to have, you know, more of an ability to move around and quickly. But this is, you can go in a straight line very, very nicely. Because when you're going down these big roads and all that, they don't turn that sharply. You know, or you know, you can just slow down and then go around the corner. It's not like in battle where you need to be able to go fast at all times. But you see just how wonderfully it's all decorated and everything, and how, you know, every detail is attended to, and the fineness that's there. It's an artistic aspect. So you have the power of the Kshatriyas, but it's not gross. It's refined. You know, it's cultured like that. You even see European history, you know, the original weapons and all that, when you go back in time, were very decorated. Very, even certain weapons were celebrated. They had names and people knew about them. And, you know, they were an heirloom, or if you defeated the king, then you received that weapon. And, you know, it had some great prestige to it. Well, nowadays, they're just common, you know, manufactured, you know, weapons. And so then people just dress for what's practical and don't worry about the culture. Yes, so then we'll see, you know, how Krishna comes out of the palace. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada.